heart in my head. Words don't come so easy, but I'm trying. I'm searching for a melody or some forgotten line. They can slip away from us so quickly. Don't be unkind, I'm not complaining. I only feel it needs explaining. And though I've said it all before,
one of the deadliest air show disasters in
history. I look into your face and see the searching in your eyes. I will be your servant in the end. Your music plays, and for the moment I feel that I'll be paid. I'm so fulfilling.
Oh!
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, January 8th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network, you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Look on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off 2 weeks ago. And hang on a second. Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians. We'll be picking up on 13, read by Alexander Scobie.
Chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight? And
yes.
Anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on a, an app or a browser, there should be a button to enter the queue. Go ahead, Jen.
I would like to note first that we now have over 11,000 members as of this week. I think it was 11,008 when I sent out the newsletter. There's a couple things I'd like to bring to people's attention. There are things that they can do to help restore the republic. Now, the question that's come up is, do we want to keep American land in the hands of Americans? Now, the Security and Exchange Commission is about to set up a NAC, which is a National Asset Company. And the SEC has extended the comment period, so it would be great if you could go to the newsletter. There's a nice link there to get information on how to tell people that no, you don't want a national asset company. And there's also a link for more information. The link for more information is short enough, I can give you that. It's just American Stewards with an S .us. Now, if you want to, and you should, contact your federal legislatures. There is a link for the House and for the Senate at the bottom of that article. The next thing I'd like you to do is to watch a short video by Maria Z. And it talks about the U.S. Moves to exit the World Health Organization and the U.N. Now, there is a letter attached to this that you can either change, modify, or send as is to your congressman to help support the two bills. There are currently two. They are identical. One's in the House, one's in the Senate. And they were put in for the 23-24 session. The House bill is 6645. The Senate bill is 3428. And they call for the termination of the United States membership in the United Nations and for other purposes. Now, it's imperative that everybody, just like the previous items, contact your representatives and senators and tell them that you want them to vote for termination of U.S. membership in the U.N. and the World Health Organization and any and all other associated organizations like that. We need to immediately defund and break away from those organizations that have been working with the globalists for decades to bring down our great American nation. Now, this is your opportunity to make a difference and possibly even avoid a world war on this planet. So please contact your elected members of Congress to approve both bills. Now, we do have a number of questions. The first one, I think, John, you have the answer right on the tip of your tongue. After going through old papers, my question is, does anyone from NLA remember the Continental Congress in 2009 Articles of Freedom meeting?
Well, yep. As a matter of fact, we have a copy of the Articles of Freedom. I think it's under Articles and Essay under Education starts here. And let's see, Articles of Freedom. Here it is. So anybody wants to read a copy of this, it's 63 pages. I remember when the papers came out, it came out on Christmas Eve 2009. And it was interesting, great Christmas present, of course. And, the Articles of Freedom, it was pretty good. They put it together well. I don't think that they really understood the common law as well as they should have understood it. I think it could have been a little better if they understood that. But nevertheless, it's a good paper. It does try to bring things back under the control of the people. And they did ignore it. It was served on the U.S. Congress, the president. I don't know whether it was served on the courts. I don't really recall it being served on the courts, but we do know the president was served and also the Congress was served. And this took place all the same day. All 50 states were served at the same time. So all governors and all legislators, both houses and every state were served, again, all on the same day. I think that was in spring of 2010. Congress met in 2009. The election for the Congress was 2008. There's quite a few people who are still unaware of that. But in any event, people could read a copy of this. Again, you'll find it on Education Starts Here. Come down to Articles and Essays. Click on that. And you'll find it in this list of things right here. Okay, next question.
Okay, the next question is, how does NLA's restoring of the grand jury approach compare to the tactical civics restoring of the grand jury? Both are focused on restoring the grand juries in the counties across the country and are Christian-based approaches. As Americans wanting to be involved in the restoration of our republic, it's difficult to come across different organizations that appear to be focused on the same objectives, yet they aren't working collaboratively. Can you help me understand if it's possible to work together?
Well, John, let me make a quick note here. I've discussed this with y'all before. GR talks about this, GR Mobley. Tactical Civics, as part of their charter, they cannot, I repeat this, they cannot work with anybody. What makes us different? We haven't sold out. That's what makes us different. They cannot work with anybody, period. I heard they were talking smack about us. Yeah, well, we didn't sell out. They did. So if you want to get the real lowdown on this, talk with GR. He'll tell you all about it. He knows the man who runs the thing. They can't work with anyone, period, or they lose their funding. And I yield.
All right, thank you, Harry. Yeah, we were in the process of trying to make that connection, and that's what we did find out, that they have in their resolution, or in the charter, actually, that they can't work with other groups. There's some kind of problems, though. When we first started this, we made the same mistake that they made. We started building or considering to build grand juries across the nation, and then we realized that that's a wrongdoing. You can't have a sitting grand jury constantly. It's got to be changed from time to time. And it depends on how much business, in the sense of court business, takes place in the course of a month to try to figure out how long a grand jury might sit. I think in most cases, with the exception of cities, but in most cases, you know, a grand jury might only come together once a week for a month, and then maybe pass it on to another group of people. So one of the problems, again, is having a constant sitting grand jury. So, you know, that we cannot do. There's a couple places where that actually is happening. One is down in Florida, and that's run by a lawyer. And goodness, they've been going for a long time, well over 10 years. Same foreman, and nothing changes. Maybe some of the people change here or there, but and it's a bar attorney that's the foreman. So, again, another major problem and a violation of the 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment. There's two groups out in California that I'm aware of, and they've been around for a long time also. Again, very professionally set up, same people. I don't know how often they change their foreman, if they do change their foreman. But, again, another wrongdoing. The other thing is we are teaching people the common law, so it's imperative that people understand the common law in order to have a process to go forward in the common law. And so an education is required. We are requiring people that want to become administrators. We're developing administrators in every county across the nation. Whereas, for instance, we'd have four administrators and a paralegal. A paralegal will also be an administrator also in the sense of having the same basic education and filling in for other administrators, maybe if someone's sick or on vacation or whatever the case may be. But we do need one paralegal who understands the structure of the court. We are requiring all paralegals to take all of our courses in order to become an administrator for the juries, and it's not just the grand juries, it's also for the trial juries. The people have to take control of the juries. Right now, lawyers and judges control both the bar, both the grand jury and the trial jury. So that has to change. Right now, what we did here is we did organize a grand jury in each state. Every state, we had visited all the counties within the United States, and then we organized a grand jury in every state, and that was called, and still is called, the Unified State, whatever state name it is, Common Law Grand Jury. And those 50 state common law grand juries came together to organize the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Now, that grand jury has been seated since, I think, 2016. We've done quite a few, well, not a lot, but we've done some indictments. Well, I guess we have done quite a few indictments. They haven't gone anywhere because they ignore us, but nevertheless, they've been done and filed, and when devolution plays out, we expect that those those indictments will be honored. The purpose of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is solely for the purpose of dealing with enemies, foreign and domestic. That's the purpose. And once we get our courts back, then they will dismantle as far as being a grand jury. And then, of course, we'll be educating people and working with others to develop the administrators for every county in America so that, we, again, the people can take control of the grand juries and the trial juries as far as bringing them together, orientating them, making sure that they are fully informed jurors. And again, education is a key. It's a wrongdoing not to educate individuals who's going to sit on a jury as far as whether it be a grand jury or a trial jury. We do have a couple of handbooks. If you go under Start a Committee of Safety and come down to handbooks, videos, and tools, you'll find two handbooks here. One is a grand jury handbook. It's downloadable in PDF. This will fully inform an individual who's sitting as a grand jurist. We also have, let me see if I find the other one. We also have a petit jury, petit jury handbook, okay. The information crosses back and forth, of course, but one is focused on one that's going to become a jurist, and another one is focused as far as a trial jurist is concerned, and another one as coming as a grand jury. But again, it's important that people be educated for this purpose as far as being the administrators and then fully inform, orientate these juries as they come to be seated. The first day they come in for orientation, that's when they'll learn the common law, the Constitution, and the seriousness of their job and how things are to go forward. So, again, we're doing something quite different than what that other group is doing. There are other people trying to do the same thing. But again, education is the key. Realizing you can't go and form a jury and have that jury sitting for long periods of time because, again, that's not the way it's supposed to happen. Okay, next question.
Okay, we were visiting Bonds for the Win through your website and cannot find any contact information on their website. We would like to be able to get in touch with Bonds for the Win because their model letter of intent is written to be directed towards school and educational officials. Our situation does not involve the education system, but governmental representatives at the state and local levels. We want to be able to issue letters of intent, but need to be able to configure them to be appropriate for the recipients, but can't consult them for help. If NLA has any contact info, could they please mention it on the call?
Well, we do have a page for Bonds for the Win, we have some links going over to their site. We like what they're doing, they may be suffering from the same problem that we suffer with, and that may be lack of help, not enough people who are volunteering, and then some people who volunteer, then they don't really follow through with it. Of course, that's a major problem. And it's a major problem with many places that are voluntary. That's why we do need to go professional at some point. We're looking for funding so that we can eventually go professional. I do think, a couple of, when was it? About a week and a half ago, I guess it was, we met with SGNON. And so we had a good conversation, Gerard and myself, with SG. And in that process of conversation, he saw the importance of an education for the people. Wanted to have government by consent, you must be educated. You can't think that you can control your government without understanding the Constitution, understanding, the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and the common law. At least you have to have a basic understanding or a basic knowledge of it. James Madison said, knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and the people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power knowledge gives. So knowledge is the key, and that's what needs to really be done in order to go forward with this. I guess that's it. What's next, Jan?
Okay, last question. Late in 2023, on a Monday night call, Gerard had mentioned a form from the IRS that would afford an individual to opt out of withholding. If he is present tonight, could he recall and bring the form back up? And I thought this got answered in the last Monday call before break. But go ahead.
There is a form, but I would strongly suggest not to fill it out, not to, you know, all you're telling them is I'm going to be rebellious and you're going to become a target. You know, they are trying, I don't know if they ever got the funding to bring in all of those new agents for the IRS. I heard, do you remember what the number was? It was thousands of them, wasn't it, Jen?
78,000, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, the number. And I don't know if people are familiar with the Obama brown shirts that were organized going back when Obama was president. And these were young kids, probably, you know, very young teenagers, pretty much. By now, they're all grown adults, and they've been, you know, I'm sure, fully informed under as far as what Obama, whatever they were doing with that. But maybe those are the individuals that they plan on hiring to come out, because they're going to weaponize them. They did speak not only about getting the agents, but also about having these agents carrying guns. Have you heard that, Jan, also? Or anybody else? About them carrying weapons, these IRS agents? But anyway.
Yeah. Yes, they do. They have to be armed, of course, and have weapons, yes, by all means.
How else are they going to collect money? They're not going to be able to rob you, pick you up, because that's all they do, it's a robbery.
If you're going to use up all the ammunition in the market, you have to, you know, buy a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, look, I would not worry about paying taxes next year, because it's not going to happen. Unfortunately, you know, people are stuck with paying the taxes this year if they've already been participating. Trying to bail out is difficult. If you're employed by an employer, then it's real difficult to get them to take you off the collection process. And as a matter of fact, I do know somebody who had his own business going and started and took all his employees off of that and paid him directly. And he really got beaten up pretty bad, and he lost in court and so on. But I wouldn't worry, because by the end of this year, the IRS will be gone, and the Federal Reserve will be gone. We'll be on real money. A lot of things are happening because of devolution. So we got lots of information for those who are not familiar with devolution. Underneath today's issues, you can go and watch some videos and get some information. Here you got for devolution that you can find out information on that link right here. And then there's other news. There's a few news anon, and I know there's another one in here that we have up here. Let me see if I can find it. I know there's something else in here. I'm just not finding it right now. But anyway, we should have three different pages on that information. So again, I would not suggest to people to go and fill out a form and send it in. You're only going to just make, have attention toward you from the IRS, and you really don't want that. But again, it's not going to be here next year. This is it. 2024 is the year America lives and survives and goes forward with great prosperity, or it's the year that we die. It's that simple. We're not going to be able to go beyond this year, but I'm convinced that devolution is going to be successful, and it'll be in full force sometime this year. Okay, but before we go on, I was just quickly looking here. This is a page under Education Starts here. Come down to Court Access and the Common Law. And this is a table of contents. Now, only people that are in the course, the law course, are able to see these two pages. Once you get into the law course, then these two pages open up to you, and you can take the course, whenever you have time to take it. But in here, we do have information on bonds for the wind, in the sense that we have a process that we lay out to show how to get Olson bonds. It is difficult. It's an uphill battle. It's like pulling teeth. You can be successful in it if you keep pressing towards the mark to get their bonds and their financials. So there is paperwork in here. I'm just going through here real quick to see if I can recall where exactly it was. I don't see it offhand, but it is in here. You did cover it in the course, and there is information on it. I do think also we have another page that we might have this information on for free. Let me see if I can find that real quickly here. I think it's under law and court forms and processes. It might be there. We have demand for oath and bonds. Okay, so we do have some information on that, and so we have specific instructions on how to do that, and to ask for bonds and oath, and that is kind of the best way to go, because especially if you're going after a judge, you're coming outside the court, you're going through a private administrative process run by the individuals, the companies, or whatever they might be called that have the bonds. And that's outside of the court system, so they don't have control over that. And I heard that people can be successful in that. We have not accomplished going through that process yet. So, but bonds for the winds, again, hopefully you can get some information for them. All right, next question.
Nope, that's all, John. You're done.
Okay. All right. As I had mentioned, we met up with S.G. Anand. And we had a good conversation for about 40 minutes. It was a 40-minute conversation. We're going to be meeting on the 17th. That'll be recorded, video recorded. And SG says it'll probably be two or three, maybe even more parts, because he sees that we have a lot of information, a lot of things to share, a lot of things to talk about. Now, this is going to give us a lot of exposure. Because a lot of the podcast, all of anybody that's really has a podcast out there and is running some kind of a program and interviewing people, discussing issues, and so on, they're aware of SG Anand, and some of them, of course, have gotten interviews where they interviewed SG Anand. Ours is going to be a little different because it's really going to be him interviewing us. It's going to be a conversation talking about education, what National Liberty Alliance has to offer, and so on. So we're expecting a lot of exposure from this. As Jan mentioned earlier, we just broke the 11,000 mark. We're kind of poised for really critical mass, and once we hit critical mass, I think we'll get a lot more people involved. We'll have a lot more committees of safety going, and we'll be getting really a lot of active people who are in the movement to try to save the nation, because without a proper education, you just can't have government by consent. It's not available to you. You have to understand how things work. You have to understand the power and the authorities that you have as one of the people. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution for them. So we are the masters, and they're the servants. Although they think it opposite, they think that we're the servants and they're the masters when you talk to these people. But in any event, you have to understand how things work, and you also, the most important thing is you have to understand the simplicity of the common law and also the Constitution. You have to understand what their powers are, what their authorities are, because if we don't know that, how can you know when they're doing something wrong or not doing their business or doing something that they shouldn't be doing? which is most of what they're doing. They're doing what they shouldn't be doing. And then the power and the authority to be able to require them to be obedient. And there's numerous ways we can require that once the people get control and get educated. We could do it through recalls. We could do it through indictments. We can force these people to obey the law. But again, none of that's going to happen until we get to the other side of devolution. But now is the time for preparation. Now is the time for education. Now is the time for people to be prepared. We're looking for administrators. Let me see what we have here. We do have people who have signed up for administrators on our website. Anybody interested in that? It's a full-time job. We're looking for 4 people plus a paralegal in every county across America. So we're looking for there's about 3,000 counties. And if we're looking for 5 people, that's about 15,000 people. So that's what it's going to take our courts back as far as taking control of our courts of law. Now, if you're on the right-hand side of a website, you can see the statistics concerning National Liberty Alliance. We have 1,262 people who have signed up to be grand jury administrators, which really I should say jury administrators. But to be jury administrators, again, it's a full-time job, 40 hours a week. It's a professional job, obviously, and you'd be working out of the courthouse. But we have to get access first. Again, now is the time to prepare for this, so that's the key. Unfortunately, the 1,262 people, a lot of those people have fallen asleep. You know, people look for things to happen very quickly. You know, they want, you know, immediate response to whatever it is they're doing or satisfaction and so on. Unfortunately, that's not the way this works. It takes time. But we are very close. So we need a lot of people to start to get an education in order to fill these positions. So if you're looking for a good job, you know, we'll educate you and prepare you, and the day should come, maybe within the year, because as soon as, again, devolution plays out, we're moving into the courts, and we've already written the papers for that to take control, to bring us back under the common law, and I believe we've written it up for 20 particular violations and things that they have to change in the federal system. Once we take the federal courts back, then the state courts are slam dunk right under, because any state court that doesn't follow the law, the federal courts have control over that to be able to require that they do, because we'd move it to federal court for cause, for denial of the due process or whatever in whatever particularly it is. So again, we need people to be active. As Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and will never be. So education is the key, and that's what we all have to do. Government by consent requires the same thing. You have to be educated. So, okay. That's it, Jan, right? Doing the questions. We have no other announcements or anything?
That was all the announcements and all the questions, John.
Okay. All right, we have 2 people in the queue. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, again, if you're on a phone, *6 and a 1. And if you are on an app or browser, there should be a button there to push to enter the queue. We'll take our first call. Anthony, West Virginia, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Good evening, John. It's Anthony from West Virginia. How are you?
Good. Good to see you here.
I'm very much thinking about running an ad on Gab. I'll pay for it. And it'll direct people to National Liberty Alliance. And I'm wondering if, you want to put together a little committee or something, or if you want to show me how you want the ad to run. I'll need some of the promotional materials. I think you already have a folder with promotional materials that I saw. If I'm free to put this together myself, I'd be happy to do it myself. But I'm just wondering if maybe you want to oversee what we're telling the people and how to do it.
Yeah,
I know how to do it, but I'm just wondering if you want to oversee the message.
Yeah, we can get together and talk about it. Maybe we can get a few people to do that. I see your number here, so I'll take a note of the number, your phone number that you're calling in on. Is that a good number for it? The 716 number?
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
716-6393, that's the one.
Yep, I got that. Okay, and I got your area code too there. Let me see. Yep, I got your area code. All right, what I'll do is I'll reach out to you during the week sometime. We'll maybe have a conversation. Maybe I'll pull Gerard in or maybe someone else, a couple people or whatever. But we'll get together and talk. Are you on Skype, by the way?
I have Skype. Haven't used it in years.
All right, well,
I don't know if I can still use it. It's probably still on the computer that I have where I am now, in my office where I am now, the house that I use for my office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I have Skype on there.
Yeah, if you remember your username and password, you can go in and sign in on any computer. You can go in and sign in, and all your information is still up there. Right now, what we'll do is I'll reach out to you by phone. We'll have a conversation, and maybe we'll have a regular meeting, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, whatever, on Skype itself. I'll go through to see some of the things. Maybe you can come up with some ideas, and we'll see what we can work out. So we do have to get the word out.
We've got to reach the people somehow.
Absolutely.
I mean, I figure the people on Gab, it would be like if you have any direct mail experience, they would call it a shotgun. This is a perfect shotgun message for Gab users, because it should reach just about everybody. And there's a lot of patriots on Gab, a lot of patriots.
Well,
so,
How much information can we put down? Is it a couple of sentences, a paragraph, or so many letters? I mean, what's the...
Well, what we can do is we can... What we're showing them isn't going to cost them any money, but what we do is we guide them to the link. Maybe you want to put up a special page on the website that treats these people as new prospective members.
Okay.
That just came to me now, because that's what we're going to direct them to, a link, so they can buy something. But instead of buying something, they're going to be getting involved.
Okay. Let's see if we can pull a meeting together and discuss it and get more details and see how we might put together something. But again, is it something that you do with a short message, a sentence or two, or is it something you would do for a paragraph or two, or, you know, how many words would you be able to put out there on it? Or how does it work when you put a title out there and then they click on it for more information?
Fine. I have a little 3-inch button, a front button that I designed, a friend of mine and I designed, and I'm selling that on Gab, and what they did, they asked me to have a picture of the button, a description of what's being sold, and then another logo, a business logo. So those are the only two uploads you're going to have to do for the ad. Is going to be a business logo upload. I hope we wouldn't use that guy with the judge with the hammer. I mean, that one kind of bothers me a little bit. But come up with something, maybe the Liberty Bell or something like that, you know.
Well, I don't know if there's a are you on the phone? Are you on an app on the phone or no? You can't see the desktop, can you?
I'm on a phone.
Okay, but
I can go to my desktop if I could sign in. I could do that.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying right now I'm looking at on the top of our website we have National Liberty Alliance with the Liberty Bell, and justice and judgment are the inhabitants of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. But that may be too big. But we'll discuss it. Hey, Jan, you think maybe you could organize a meeting with some of our leadership and work things out with Anthony, and we'll just have a meeting and discuss this? Sounds like a good idea.
How big do you want it?
How big what? How big of a meeting? Oh, we don't want a lot of people here. You know, to get the people who are generally mostly involved. You know, and
when's a good time?
We'll do some brainstorming, have?
What's a good time date?
Well, you work it out. I'm usually available. Maybe before you go out to actually make the decision on the time and the date, maybe you could talk to me first to make sure that I'm open for it. But I'm generally open most of the time. Usually
okay.
It's on the computer doing work or whatever. So
I'll give you a jingle. Yep.
All right. You got Anthony's number here too also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, yeah. Let's see if we can't work something up. I'd like to do something maybe this week sometime if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I guess maybe if we're looking at Eastern time, after 10, before 3, maybe something like that.
Okay. What day?
That's what we'll have to discover. Jan will work it out and let everybody know that he'll pull into that meeting. But it sounds like a great idea. I think this could be something to help us build, you know, more membership and get more people involved. And we'll take it from there, see where we go.
Great. Okay. Right. Well, that's about all I have today. And just need to... get things moving here. I think tonight was the night for my city council meetings, and I don't even have a list for the dates. They don't post it on the internet. They're changing over for Princeton, West Virginia. They're in the process of changing their internet service. Their website, they call it, for a year and a half now, and I signed up. I told them I want to get a list. Wanted them to mail me a list of when the meetings are, and I haven't received anything. I just don't follow through well enough, because the time comes, the time goes by, and it slips by, and then I'm not doing my job. You know, you got to be out there. That's what the Committee of Safety is, and we've got to take that action.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So I'm trying to motivate myself in order to not miss these meetings anymore. I think the meeting happened today, and I was in prayer.
Is that a Committee of Safety meeting?
What's that?
Are you talking about a Committee of Safety meeting in your county?
Yeah, no. I'm talking about the city council meeting.
Oh. Okay.
But we want to go to all of those meetings.
Well, absolutely. And we do have a plan, as I'm sure you know, and it's all written up on how to approach the groups, particularly, you know, the boards, whether it be a school board or a town board or whatever board, and also how to approach others. So, again, once you get that Committee of Safety up and going, you do want to eventually visit every government structure throughout your entire county. And we all need to be doing that, because that's how we have government by consent. We have to reel them in and bring them back under the Constitution and under the obedience of we the people. And that's what it's all about, the county committees of safety. So, but... Okay, so we'll get together hopefully sometime this week. Dan will work out a day, and we'll do and a time, and we'll do it. Okay.
Okay, I'll work on mock-up of the ad for you guys. So when we have a meeting, I'll show you what I did, and then we can manipulate it from there.
Yeah, and Terry and Eric, if you're planning on coming, maybe if you got some ideas or some kind of an ad or something. Maybe, and we can all share our ideas and try to hammer out something that seems to work for us. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you.
I'll be listening.
All right.
I'll bring the hammer.
Okay, before we go to the next person here, I just want to make a note here. I probably should make this note every Monday when we come together, and that is to bring guests. The best way to really grow is to bring guests. You know, if everybody brings a guest, then potentially we can double our active people on a weekly basis. I mean, not that we're going to maintaining people and those people all the time, but working with them. And over time, you can accumulate a lot of membership just by doing that alone. Anybody else has any other ideas on how we can try to get more membership, more people involved, more people educated, more people active on the grassroots level? That's what we need to do. One of the things we talk about in the handbook is growth, how to grow your committee of safety. And one of those things is for people, everybody to come to the meeting. If you've got 20 people or 10 people that show up for the first meeting, well, potentially you can have double that. You can have 20 or 40 the next time, potentially speaking. Some people maybe can bring more than one person. But growth is the key, getting people active, getting them involved. And the other thing is the constant meetings. You've got to be consistent on your meetings. I would think bare minimum meeting once a month, but as a committee of safety begins, you know, you might want to really get together, even if it's on the phone or the internet or whatever, once a week at bare minimum, or occasionally for coffee, to discuss the ideas and have your first really big meeting. But once you have your first meeting, you should be meeting once a month. But in the beginning, people might want to be more active and grow a lot quicker, so maybe they'll have two a month in the beginning for a while, or whatever it is that they want to do. But we do have to get moving on this. We do have to take control. There's going to be a void, a power void, once devolution plays out. And if we, the people, don't take control of the power structure, which is control of our government, politically speaking, and control of our judicial process, and if we don't do that, then someone else will. And it certainly won't be free and independent people taking control of that, and it won't be long before we find ourselves right back where we're trying to get away from. So, okay, let's take our next person. Let's see, it is a 575 area code, Santa Rosa. What's that, New Mexico? What's your first name?
Hi, Amos. This is Annette from Santa Rosa.
How are you doing, Annette?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm calling because I would like to know what the current address is for the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury.
Let's see. Let me get the address here. That should be an address under directory. If not, it'll be under donate now. But what particularly you're looking to do? I mean, we're not hearing cases per se. The only we were doing habeas corpuses. We were doing people who needed habeas corpuses. We were also doing non-judicial foreclosures. Those are the two bigger focuses that we had, and we did quite a few of them over the years. And we haven't been doing anything lately, so we do need more people involved in order to do it. We need people to help with the paperwork to assist people in that. But what kind of a problem or situation are you thinking about?
Well, I've done a declaration. I've sent it in. I sent it in November to the Attorney General, the U.S. Attorney General.
Doing a declaration? Is that about talking about your sovereignty?
I'm sorry?
The declaration, is that about to make a note of your sovereignty and posting it to the government? Is that what that is?
My national status, yes.
Okay. Usually I did that myself. I know Gerard did that. Maybe some other people, National Liberty Alliance, had done that. This would go way back, a long, long time ago, when we were trying to figure things out. And we filed the papers. The proper place to file them is in your county, in the records in your county. But mm-hmm. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to change anything. It's not putting you into anything.
Oh, well, mine might.
Well,
mine might. It has a lot of relevant information in it. So
yeah, but
it might.
One of the problems is this, is they don't care. They'll walk all over you. And
I know.
They don't listen. They don't obey the law. And I'm not just talking about politicians. I'm talking about judges. Judges don't obey the law. They change their rules.
Well,
they change the law on every case as things go on. when you try to correct these people, try to bring them and reel them back in under the Constitution, they just don't care. They ignore you. Because they're not American.
Yeah, we have a big fight like that. We have a big fight like that where I live. They don't, there's no respect at all for the law. Well, definitely not for the people, not the law for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So my problem is that our land patents, land grant, our land patent land was illegally sold away from our family. Somebody who didn't even own the land sold it. And in some ways, the land office through a different county.
Did you sue them?
Rented the land to different people too. And it's just a big old mess that they like took our land, patent land from us.
Well,
hundreds of acres.
How long did you own the land for before they did that? Is this something that's been in the long time?
They didn't sell it. My grandfather let somebody use it for grazing cattle a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody in the family who was an in-law, I believe, to my grandmother, who wasn't even blood related, and I think they're the ones who were grazing cattle on it for a really long time, but somebody, either they or somebody related to them, did a warranty deed in a different county other than the county that my family was living in.
How long ago did that happen?
That happened in 19, it happened, I believe it was 1981.
Why
it was right after my great-grandmother. It was right after my great-grandmother had passed away.
Why did your family...
And her husband... I'm sorry?
Why did your family wait so long to do something?
Because my grandmother is the one who had me look into it, and she didn't even ask me to do that until about 2014, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And she was already an old woman, and she didn't even know... I don't even think she really even... thought about or knew that her father had a land patent on it. And we've even been kicked off of the land.
How did they get the land, though? Did they buy it or did they homestead it? Or how did
we? My great grandfather served in the military in the beginning of the 1900s. He later received a land patent. His father-in-law had a land patent here as well, who was my great-great-grandfather.
He met my grandmother
here. He was a surveyor, a land surveyor, but he met my grandmother around here. And they got married, and then he got a land patent for the land next to the other family land.
I don't want to get too deep into this because it sounds like it's going to be long, but the key thing here, which you have to discover, is the original land patent, and then do your, you have to really then do some good investigation to see what happened and see if there's anything you could do about it.
John?
Well, I did, and somebody sold the land to a corporation, and corporations now own the land, or claim ownership of the land that was illegally sold to them.
All right, well, again, I don't know that there's anything that we can do for you. Again, it sounds like it's just you're going to really do a lot of exploring and digging to find out what...
Oh, I have.
The original
John, can I ask a question real quick?
Okay.
Did any of your relatives sign anything to coordinate the use of the land? With the BLM or anybody?
There's an old agreement that I found in the county clerk's office that showed that somebody was renting it or a piece of it for about a 3-year period. That was the agreement.
Okay, be careful. Okay, be careful. What I'm saying is that if they get any signature anywhere, they will assume to take possession of the land. So look that over very carefully. And that's all I can say about it. I know that happens. Anytime they get you to sign something, they will exploit everything in there. But you can go back. I want you to look up somebody on YouTube, and his name is Angus, A-N-G-U-S, McIntosh. Spell however I think it works. Go to YouTube, and he goes through all of the laws and how things go on a land patent and a land anything. And there are two cases that you can use if you ever bring it. He's got them there. It's a two-hour video. It was done in Utah. Excellent video. And just take a look. I think it's an hour and 51 minutes or 52, 57 minutes. I can't remember. But go and look at that one. It's from about 5-6 years ago. Okay?
Okay, and I'm also wondering, because the land patent that he had, he later donated like an acre, the very corners of the section of one of the sections. He donated it to be a public cemetery or a rancher cemetery.
There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things. And that was what John was talking about, that we can't get into all the details. Mm-hmm. But you've got to sit down and plan this. What I can say is that after you watch Angus McIntosh and you find out all the details that go with this, you can then use the two cases that he puts forth in that video. And you can win regardless of what has happened over the time. Okay?
Are you familiar with the county real property?
Am I familiar with the what?
There's an office in every county called real property. Are you familiar with it?
Oh, no.
Okay, in the county building, you'll find an office. You just walk in there and ask them. They'll tell you what floor, where it's at. It's called Real Property, and it lists all the property within your county. And it covers, actually, the whole state. Yeah, just the county. So they cover all the property within the county. You can look up on the maps. There's a little bit of land. You can get all the necessary information. They got the books, and you can go into the books and find out who actually owns all the land. I don't know if you'd get a history that way, but you definitely can get...
Oh, I have, yeah. I have the section maps and all of that, and a list of the owners now.
Right. Well, there's not much more we can do.
I'm just wondering, I have another question to see if you might know. Because the roads leading up to the property were originally county roads. Somebody who bought some land on part of it, whatever, on one of the sides of the roads or whatever, closed off the county road or renamed it to a different name. So now the county doesn't keep up the road, which the roads are still leading up to the property are still county roads, but they're not kept up. They're in really bad repair right now. You can't even hardly get to the cemetery. And I was just wondering, isn't the county supposed to keep up the roads to these places? If they're county roads, are they not supposed to grade them and that kind of stuff?
I don't see how it would be a county road, because a county road definitely would be open and moving and cared for. It may be a town road, and the town may give it up for some reason. I don't know. There could be quite a few things. I used to do developing and Boston and stuff. But that's probably it's probably a town road. But you'll know better than I am, because I don't know where, I don't know the property you're talking about. But we really can't help you much on the land other than give you a few thoughts and ideas that we've already given you. So, do you have any other questions or comments concerning what we're doing here or whatever?
No, it's just I just wanted to know what the original question was, just to know what that address was for the United States Grand Jury, or a phone number or something.
Yeah, again, you can find it up on the website. I mean, you know, I it really comes to me, and, you know, it's 3979 Albany Post Road in Hyde Park, New York. But you'll find it up here on page. I know you'll find it, let's see, you'll definitely find it on our donation tab. I'm pretty sure we have it in the directory somewhere, too. But I know the donation tab, if you're going to mail in a, here it is right here. That's the address.
Oh, did you find it under there?
Okay. That's underneath coming in here, donate now. And you click on that page, and that's where you'll see our address here. So
okay.
If you write something or an email, you can send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org if you want to send an email. But again, are you thinking about a case or something? Because we're not really getting involved in cases particularly. I mean, we were doing, like I told you before, habeas corpuses and non-judicial foreclosures, trying to help people on the one hand, and on the other hand, building and developing a case showing that this is a conspiracy, and that whether you're in a court that's in California, a federal court there, or you're in a court that's in New York, or wherever you're at, they all do the same thing, and they all break the same law, and they all do it in the same way. That proves a conspiracy. So we've got plenty of proof on that, and that was really one of the purposes we were doing that for, all those cases. And we've done a couple of hundred cases like that.
Well, I just wanted their address so that I could send them a document when I'm finished with it that might help somebody else. So.
All right. You can also send it to mail at nationallibertyalliance.org, and when you send it to mail, all the leadership gets it. So everybody that's
okay.
On the level gets a copy of that. So you can attach it maybe to an email. And that might be the best way to get it out to numerous people. And we can look at it and think about it.
Okay.
And Macintosh.
Thank you very much.
Macintosh doesn't have an A. It's M-C-I. And
M-C-I,
I found him. Mike Macintosh. Angus Macintosh. And I'm looking for the thing. If I find it, I'll announce it tonight. Thank you
so much.
Oh, there it is. Dr. Angus Macintosh, The Truth About Property Rights on Western Ranches. That's the name of it. It's always at the bottom of my search. It's an hour and 52 minutes and 44 seconds long. Dr. Angus Macintosh, The Truth About Property Rights on Western Ranches.
Okay. Right, that sounds perfect.
Okay. All right, thank you, Annetta.
Thank you. Yes.
Your name is Annette, right?
Yes, it
is. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next caller. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
I have to ask a question. I wonder, I did ask someone in my church that they can help me organize my community safety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would be successful because my church doesn't like to be involved in the politics realm.
Yeah, I understand that. They may not want to involve themselves in politics, may involve themselves in the political process in order to have government by consent without the politicking, so to speak, because politics has nothing to do with government by consent. To participate in their politics but a church may get involved. I know some churches, for instance, that get involved because they're active in the community and they could be interested in involved in something like
okay.
It's definitely a good place to talk to people about it, no doubt about it, you know.
Okay. Bye. Oh. I handed it back over to you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Ross. Okay, anybody wants to get into the queue? We only have one other person left in the queue. About 6 in the morning, you're on the phone. In order to, on an app or a browser, in order to get into the queue. Okay, 503 area code. You got the mic. What's your first name and your state?
Yeah, my name's Gene. I'm from Oregon. And you're talking about, you know, getting the word out about what you all do. And there is a pretty tight-knit community on YouTube based around First Amendment auditors. And these people get hundreds of thousands of views. And their main goal is to educate the local officials about their constitutional rights, and involves the police. They get arrested quite a bit, you know, and they're pretty unaware about this thing that you're talking about, this common law. They talk about civil rights and all this nonsense. But I think if I knew what I was doing, I would reach out to help them to get them on board to see what you're doing so that they can let their audiences know. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. Which group or organization are you talking about? Something on YouTube, you're saying?
They're YouTube content creators, and they go out to courthouses, post offices, you name it, and they film.
Do they organize with the leadership?
No, other than that they have hundreds of thousands of subscribers that watch their content, and they watch them educate judges and police and county officials about their First Amendment rights, the right to assemble, the right to religion, free speech, all of that stuff, because they get violated on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So their audience, what happens is we'll be watching something go down live, and there'll be 3,000 or 4,000 people call the county office and complain about the abuses they're witnessing going on the film.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a target audience. Those people are hungry.
Well, if someone is making YouTube videos, then they have to have an organizer, at least one person, maybe a group of people, and we'd like to have a conversation with them and see once whether we're compatible and whether we can work together and how we might be able to work together. So I don't know if you have information that you got in order to make contact with these people somehow and make the connection. Well, maybe give us that information also. Maybe others can consider on how we can make contact with them.
You know, the best thing that I would know how to do is to, like that writ mandamus, those memorandums, especially mm-hmm. one about the county sheriff and common law. If these people out there doing those amendments were actually sit down and read that, their minds would be blown. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're aware of actually the power they have.
Yeah, most people are not. You're right. You know, we do have, you know, and again, you're right. Look, we have the Common Law Handbook. It's free down. These are all free downloads, by the way. They're PDFs. You can also purchase these in pocket handbooks if you want, but you can also get them for free here.
I can download them and share them?
Oh, absolutely. You're coming in on a phone, so you can't really see my desktop that I'm sharing. But we have, for instance, Common Law Handbook. We have Elected Officials Handbook. We have a Grand Jury Handbook. We have a Militia Handbook. We have a Petty Jury Handbook. We have a Sheriff's Common Law Handbook, which is probably one of the most important ones that you can give. We also have information on our website on the blue bar on the top second tab is Sheriff. If you highlight Sheriff, we have a campaign for constitutional sheriffs going on. Where we're asking people to buy their sheriff a book, Government by Consent. It's $39. It's 550 pages. It's 8.5 by 11 book, hardcover. So it's a really solid, large book, lots of information. And everybody should buy their sheriff a copy of this book. You can also get them out to the website, and they can go through our pages here. We have, under the sheriffs, we have information concerning the sheriff as far as, you know, sheriff and due process, the duty of the county sheriff, the history of the sheriff, the chief law enforcement officer of the county, and American jurisprudence. So we've got about 5 or 6 pages here with lots of information for sheriffs, And in our book, Government by Consent, we've got a whole chapter on sheriffs and, you know, the power of the sheriff and all the things I pretty much mentioned here, plus a lot more. So those, you can download these handbooks and you know, print them off, copies, and pass them out.
I'll start sharing that then. Okay. Thank you.
All right, and get them out to our website. Get them to a meeting. What is the YouTube page or something that you were talking about?
There's hundreds of people who call themselves First Amendment auditors, and it's a whole genre. It's, you know, it's a big community.
Yeah, but do you have a YouTube page or something?
You just go to YouTube and put First Amendment auditor, and you're gonna see, you know, hundreds of different content creators.
Okay, I see First Amendment auditors. I'm opening up that page right now. And
you know, probably John Freeman is probably the best. There's a lot of these guys that are pretty foul, and they use, you know, you're going to have to watch who you listen to, but a lot of bad language. But there are some pretty peaceful folk.
That is really, really a shame, because I have noticed that too. A lot of these podcasters and even people, great information here and there, and they drop the F-bomb and all these other things constantly. And it seems to be contagious, you know?
Yeah.
I've heard people use that particular word on live programming. For instance, they go on to Joe Rogan because he's notorious for that. And people that just never thought would use those words use it, and it's like contagious. And
well, there's a little more to it than that. Now, a lot of these people are, you know, cops will pull their guns. You know, they're under duress, and you know, when I'm under duress, sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. But you're just going to see real naked life take place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm talking mostly about conversations. In other words, in LA Room, we don't have cursing. We've had one or two people over the years maybe curse, and we corrected them, and they accepted that, and that was that. So you don't get cursing on our programming. And, you know, hopefully we'll be out there a lot more, and maybe we'll get a podcast going. I don't know. But, you know, we'll watch our language. But we got to get the word out to other people. Look at
Will. That gentleman was talking about using gab, but if you really want to target people that are doing what you're doing, but from a different way, you know, kind of a street level, community level activism, fighting for their constitutional liberties, their God-given rights, that there's a huge community out there.
Right, I'm out here looking at First Amendment auditors. And by the way, if anybody wants to get into the queue, we don't have anybody in the queue right now. *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and hit the button if you're on an app or a browser. I'm on the page right now where First Amendment auditors, and there's quite a few different videos out here. What did you say was the name of the person that seems to be very much involved in this?
Well, one of them, now that you want me to tell you, I can't remember. If you have a minute, I can look some of this stuff up.
We don't have anyone else in the queue at the moment anyway, and I'm looking through some of this stuff.
I don't want to take your time, but I'd like to help. Let's see here. View all. I'm looking at my history here. Yeah, James Freeman would be one.
F-R-E-E-M-A-N, Freeman, right?
Freeman, and a lot of these, let's see, gosh, there's a gentleman down in Mississippi that goes to City Hall and holds up a sign that says, God bless our veterans, and he gets arrested all the time, and I cannot remember his name, just a good Christian man that God laid it on his heart to pray for the homeless veterans, and he gets harassed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish I would have been prepared. I didn't know I was going to bring this up.
I got James Freeman written down, but if you could think of something else as the evening goes on.
I can put a list of stuff together and email you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Like. Maybe give us some links, yeah, and send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org.
What was that again, sir?
Mail, M-A-I-L.
Okay.
At nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay, I will do that. I will do that tomorrow, and I'll send you some links. But, you know, if one of those guys with that kind of audience, you know, that would be a good mouthpiece to get out the word, because I know that if they knew of something else, that they would be willing to educate.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. If anybody else has any ideas or any contacts that we can make that would be helpful, you know, again, getting on some of these large podcasts or programming, you know, is really what's going to get us out there. And a lot of the patriots that are involved, once they hear about us, and they'll hopefully come to us for an education. Well, a lot of them I know will come for an education. I know once we get that interview going with SG, which, again, is going to be 2-3 parts, maybe even 4 parts. Each part will be about an hour long. We get the word out on everything that National Liberty Alliance is doing and what our strategy is and so on and so forth. You know, again, it's a lot of patriots that are running their own programs are following on SGNN. So I know we'll get a lot of interviews from that also. So I'm sure a lot of people will want to connect and talk with us and get involved. Because, again, the only way to save this nation is to have government by consent. And so people need to step up and exercise their right of government by consent. Because right now they're not doing it.
To reach out to interview one of these people and then come on and you interview them to get them to talk. Well, you would get to talk too, and you'd be in an introduction. That would be perfect.
Well, yeah, you know, SG, for instance, SG, you know, people connect with him to interview him, and he's got lots of interviews out there that he's been interviewed. We're kind of turning it around with him, and we're asking him to kind of interview us for the purpose of getting the word out for education, and he likes that idea, so we're going to be doing it. But generally, I mean, we used to do a lot of interviews some years back, and it's always been where, you know, we'd go on, we'd spend, you know, some time giving maybe 20 minutes or whatever, giving a broad picture of what it is we're doing, and then we usually ask questions and we're interviewed, you know. And that's the only way we're going to get the word out is to do that, the interviews. That's the key. So. All right, you got anything else? Because there's no one else in the queue if you have any other questions or comments. Anybody wants to get into the queue, again, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, or hit the button if you're on an app or browser. Anything else, Gene?
No, I just like to say I appreciate you, and I'm so very thankful for you. I've been looking for this for a couple years. I've heard bits and pieces of everything you've said from various different people in different scenarios, and everything that I've read, these documents have kind of put it into perspective and given me kind of a foundation of truth. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate it. Well, if you want to read some good documents, right on our front page, for instance, let's see, let me go to the front page. We have a paper that we've been trying to file in the United States Supreme Court, but we keep getting blocked by some clerk there. And we kind of changed the strategy on this because we're so close to things. We're going to reorganize the paper that we wrote and file it for, you know, once devolution plays out. Then file it then, because I know then we'll be able to get into the courts and we'll be able to bring back common law. And we need to be very specific. You know, first of all, bar attorneys should not be in the courtrooms. They're enemies of the people. The purpose of the bar from day one, which came to America in 1750 while we were a colony, the purpose of them was to destroy our judicial process. And they've done a very good job on that, obviously. Destroying our judicial process, but they've gone further than that. You know, in what was it? in 1822, the Treaty of Verona, the King and the Pope issued letters of marque and reprisal to covertly undermine America's judicial, economic, and political system. It was an act of war, and it continues. And that's why we are where we are today. The only thing that has kept us from totally collapsing is that Constitution and our Bill of Rights. But right now, you can hear, they really don't care anything about our Constitution, nor do they care anything about the people's Bill of Rights, unalienable rights. And they've taken control of our colleges, and they're training these people to be Marxists, and it's a major problem. And, of course, we have millions of individuals coming from countries all over the world. A lot of them are terrorists, and they've filled our cities up. Our cities are bombarded with these people. Millions of people have come upon our cities throughout America, and we're about ready to see the fruits of that problem soon. I think it's coming up very, very soon. So it's not going to be pretty. But this is what it's taken to wake all the people up. All of this has to take place because enough people aren't woken up yet. But I think we're very close to enough people being woken up. So, all right, anything else, Gene?
No, I mean, I could sit here all day, but I'm good. I'm done for tonight.
Okay. All right, we do have another person came in the queue. So anybody else wants to get in the queue, get in there. We'll take our next caller. Thanks, Gene. Okay, Marianne, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Oh, this is Marianne. I wanted to thank you for introducing that topic of the land grab, the natural assets companies. And I did look that up, and I found quite a bit on it in a short period of time. It's pretty bad. It's based upon UN... UN system ecological accounting or ecosystem accounting or something. So I had a feeling it was related to the United Nations somehow, and It is.
That they, you think they're the ones that actually stole the property?
The United Nations has been influencing the land grabs around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and there's organized crime doing it. We had some people who were trying to help some years back in New York City, and it got pretty bad with shootouts and everything on that, and they just escaped narrowly with their life. They even the cops were in on them, and it was a mess down there. But this couple fled for their life and had to hide, and they lost everything, their house, everything. They couldn't even go back. So there's crazy things going on, but that was with organized crime, but it was also infiltrated right into the government, in the sense that the police force had something to do with these people, and it was pretty serious.
You're right, John. It is organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a worldwide RICO.
Mm-hmm.
Going on, and what we see, like for instance, these are all land deals. So trying to drive, like what's going on in Africa with attacking the people and driving them off the land. I mean, this is about land deals. Somebody mm-hmm. decided they wanted that land, and somebody who doesn't own it is making sure that they get it. Like for instance, what's going on in Indiana. Like for instance, if you go to the IEDC.IN.gov, and you see that they're selling.
Can you say that again? What is it?
IEDC.
Yep.
.IN.
Yep.
.gov.
Okay. And this site is what now?
Indiana. It's Economic Development, and it is, if you go to the foundations, you see that it's paid. It's being funded by a 501c3, so it's allegedly a .gov funded by a 501c3. The IRS is complicit because the IRS has just given them the nod, for economic development to be funded by a 501 by 501c3, so they have private donations. Allegedly, Japan's the highest donor, according to articles that I've read. I mean, there are so many articles that I could give you that you could read for 8 hours straight about this. And it is, like, for instance, that Leap Lebanon, there was an article that came out at the end of December where the Indiana General Assembly, the committee that they, that was meeting for finance committee, because they wanted money, they were requesting $27 million from Indiana, and so that they can purchase about 330 acres of farmland and residential property in Boone County for this Lebanon, this LEAP project, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when the Democrats were complaining, now they said the Democrat members of the committee were complaining because they were asking questions about what they wanted with this money. And they found out that Republicans signed non-disclosure agreements on the deal. They were told, the committee was told that basically it's none of their business what they wanted to really do with the money. They were just demanding the money. They call their they call them projects. In the if you go to the minutes of the meetings for this IEDC.gov, they hide their plans through, they call them projects. Like project.
There's another one, the IN, I guess, stands for Indiana. If I get the IN out of there, then there'll be a main page. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's, that's hard. The one for the entire, there's the EDA, Economic Development Agency, is located in Washington, and they received $3 billion in these ARPA funds to distribute however they saw fit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of ARPA funds that came through this. If you go to the bottom of the page, I see you're looking at. You go to the bottom of that page and you see transparency portal. If you go to the transparency portal there, to the bottom right, in the third column there, it says
transparency
portal. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it is, transfer. Yeah, I see it.
You can go in there and search. I can do all sorts of searches. I could do a search by county and find out where the funds are going. But every county in India, see, it's really, really clear in Indiana. It's very structured. It's so much more structured in Indiana than I've seen it in any other state.
Is this similar to Agenda 21 somehow? Or
oh, totally Agenda 21. Absolutely. Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. They're now on acceleration. I'm trying to explain it to the local governments here how this is tied to the UN and how I have an article here that I just printed out last night.
Well, I know we do know that Agenda 21 is unlawful, and it's going to be something that's not going to be around once we get back under the Constitution again. I never heard of Agenda 30, though. You said there's an Agenda 30 also?
Yeah, there's Agenda 2030 is where they're working on now. Matter of fact, I think we're already there, Agenda 2030. But they have accelerating implementation of the 2030 agenda, and that is, yeah, the Sustainable Development Goals, right? And I mean, there's just so much. There's just so much. I barely even know where to start. The World Economic Forum and the UN signed strategic partnership framework. Now, to understand, in Indiana, Governor Holcomb has spoken at Davos. He spoke at Davos in, I think, early 2023. And so he's totally World Economic Forum. So John, I could really use some advisement on what to do with this because I have so much information on this, and I can't.
Yeah, but the thing is that the local government don't even understand what this is about themselves to some degree. I think. I mean, some people probably do in government, and the whole thing is unlawful because there's outside influence coming from other countries, and that's one of the major problems with it. And also the pushing, it's like a communistic setup. I know Agenda 21 at the end of the day, it's really all about a communist approach to land, and eventually you wouldn't even own anything, not the land or anything. And you'll be happy, by the way. You'll be very happy. So they tell us...
It's very expensive to own nothing. But there are many people here who, they own their properties and they have several acres, and they're starting to get an inkling that there's a problem. So I'm trying to help them see the big picture.
But this will all be closed down once the devolution plays a role. So. You know, it's going to be difficult. I know people that have been involved in this for, goodness, 8-10 years, and they're still not getting anywhere with it. And a lot of people have, left trying to battle it because you can't get anywhere with these people. They just don't care. But it's going to go away. Well, this is going away after devolution plays out.
But the problem is we are losing our farms in the meantime.
Yes, and it's got to... Well, look at all of these large corporations are part of the game. They're all in the game with the New World Order ultimately, okay? I mean, they're giving us poison for food. I mean, it's all kinds of problems. Our water is poisoned. Everything is poisoned. Air is poisoned. Our food, GMOs, and that's poisoned. And it goes on and on and on. But you know, what? Like Trump said, you know, he relates it to a diamond thief. You know, once you rob the diamond store and you get caught, you got to give the diamonds back. So we're looking at trillions and trillions of dollars in properties, businesses, liquidity, gold, silver, etc. And all of that's got to go back to the people. And it's not just the people of the United States, because the whole world has been involved in this. So, I mean, I'm sure that the United States will get the lion's share of it because we've made the greatest investment and the greatest losses. But nevertheless, everyone will be, compensated for their injury because that's the common law requirement. So all of this stuff, all the farmland will be seized from all these major corporations that are connected to all of these illegal activities and owned by the New World Order, ultimately, the different groups, the different families. I've heard there's 100 families, I heard there's 200 families, but whatever it is, it's not all that many people. It's, you know, particular families that really are kind of running the whole thing. And all that's going to be taken away. So farmland will come back to the people. Unfortunately, they've destroyed a lot of it, though. You know, we've got the GMO growing in these areas. For instance, let's take wheat. I know there was a case that I heard about. And I don't have firsthand knowledge of this; it's secondhand knowledge. But there's a case I heard about that, this one corporation was farming and they had GMO or something on their wheat. And wheat, you know, blows in the air and it goes into the next wheat field. It gets contaminated, and then these people were sued for stealing their GMO wheat. So I've heard stories like that, and that's how bad it is. But the problem is our soils. Hang on a minute, let me shut that off. Our soils have been depleted. The trace minerals we're not getting. A lot of our vegetables, tomatoes and different things, they just don't have that taste to it anymore. because you know, they just depleted the land. They didn't follow God's law that you have to give a rest to the land every I think 7 years. The seventh year you give it a rest, and that's the rule that God set up, and they're not following that. So that and also they're supposed to flip the land. If you plant you know, something here in this field, the next year or 7 years later you want to plant something else after you get a year's rest. So flipping the land is something that farmers have done, and it kept the soils reasonably rich, got the all of the trace minerals, which is necessary for a healthy life, for, you know, to get whatever it is that you're getting out of the land as far as vegetables are concerned. But all that's coming back to the people. But it's going to be a problem, I could see, for a while, trying to bring the land back again. So... All right, anything else?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that. And but yeah, in the meantime, we are trying to put a stop to it because they want to put a pipeline, the CO2 pipeline ridiculousness. And then, I mean, we really need, we have got to get rid of these election machines. We have to get rid of the they're coup machines.
Well, they have to go, of course. Look, there is a proper way for elections to go. And... and there is a system and a process of counting the votes. You know, they say, oh, it takes so long, you know, we'll never get the votes counted in time and so on and so forth. Well, that's because they collect all of the votes, bring them up to county level and count them on the county level. They're not supposed to be counted that way. They're supposed to be counted right there in your election district. And people need to be standing there or sitting there watching and bearing witness to the counting. And then that number is supposed to be then you know, when you add up the different election districts within an area, it's then delivered up to the county level, and all the county, all the voting is already counted. The county level doesn't have to count anything. Every election district counts its own, and it's a real fast and easy process. I mean, all counting for all over the United States could be done easily by midnight. And it used to be anyway, to some degree. But they, again, that's how they cheat. They bring it up to the county level, and that's where they, you know, do their dastardly deeds. You still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Anything else?
No, thank you. I plan to file my, Lord willing, I'll be filing my own notice and demand this month.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time.
Well, follow the process. You know, a notice and demand has 8 points. You're familiar with that? I guess you looked it up on the website, right?
Yes, and I have the book. I've taken the class, and yeah, I have a website.
Okay, so yeah, follow the plan as far as hitting all those 8 points. You know, if you don't hit those 8 points, you know, you're lacking. So.
And I'm using the format, following the format from your book.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we learned it from, what was his name? Boy, I can't think of it. Thornton. Thank you. Bill Thornton. We learned it from Bill Thornton. I mean, we redesigned it. You know, we added some things to it and made some changes to it, gave it our own flavor, more common law-ish, if you want to call it that. But we did follow his structure and the points that he made, he made big points on the points. You got to follow those points. If you got to get that whole picture and that conclusion on your notice and demand on what you're going to do and take control if they default.
And there was one other thing. Do you know if the J6 hostages have filed any of the writ of habeas corpus?
I don't think they can. Their lawyers definitely won't do it. That's a definite. So that's not going to happen. They probably don't have any access to do anything, at least for those. And I think they're all in jail. I don't know if they left any out, but in any event. They can't. They block them for doing anything. So they're not going to be able to do or say anything without going through their lawyers. the courts take total control. They're totally unjust. There's no justice in our courts whatsoever. The whole thing is just a sham.
I totally agree. Yes, they need lots of prayers. And mm-hmm. writs of mandamus would be a writs of habeas corpus. I think would, Lord willing.
Well, we know that Trump will get him out as soon as he gets in office. I know he's recently called for them to be let go, to be let loose, and that's not happening. But again, look at the people are requiring more and more suffering, because without that suffering, and you know, they're not waking up, and that's the problem. I mean, you know, I've been aware of these things, and a lot of people have been aware of these things for a long time, but not enough of us. But it's happening. I'm, you know, from time to time, I ask people, "Are you scared?" "Oh, I'm scared." And I tell them, "Well, that's good. I'm glad," and because you got to wake up. Because without the people waking up, we can't do what has to be done, and that means a military move. So. Okay, we're coming close to the end. We got about 10 minutes or so, and I do have one other caller. Anything else before we move over, Mary? Just
thank you for all that you've done and are continuing to do. Thank you all.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, LJ, let's get to the next. How are we doing, LJ? You got the mic.
Hey, John. I wanted to just kind of pick your brain and see what you think about this.
Before we go any further, Jen, are you able to find Nash, or did you try looking for Nash? Because that's the name of the guy that's got control of our Facebook.
No, I have not.
No, John, I already got access to all that. I emailed you probably about a week ago.
Well, I missed that one.
Yeah.
We'll talk tomorrow on that, but let's take your call here and maybe give me a call tomorrow sometime and let's chat.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Yeah, John, so what do you think about this whole stuff that they're saying in the news where these certain, what is, I think, California, Colorado, it's a couple of states where they're basically going to shut it down, where they're not going to put Trump on the ballot, and they're saying something because they have proven since he was involved with the insurrection. So I want to ask you, like, is... how can they do that? Is that possible, or is this just propaganda?
Propaganda. They can't do anything. They'll get a state maybe to do something to some degree like they did, okay, but then the Supreme Court will step in. At least we do have the Supreme Court. They are there. They've done some great rulings over the past 2 years, particularly, you know, Roe versus Wade overturned, numerous Second Amendment decisions in favor of the people. The states, some of these states, like New York particular, on the gun issue, is ignoring them. But at the end of the day, you know, the Supreme Court will apply the law. First of all, there's this pesky thing called innocent until proven guilty. And he hasn't even been to court on any of this stuff yet, and he's not been found guilty of anything. So right there, it just ends the whole thing, number one. Number two, I don't think there's any law or anything that they can really apply to keep him off the ticket, okay? Mm-hmm. Also, of course, they have to prove, you know, that he committed treason or something by participating, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world because of what's on video already, and even Trump making the point, you know, about going over peacefully and so on and so forth. But we know it's all a sham, and it's just propaganda. It's just trying to really prevent him from becoming president because they know their days are numbered now. It's done.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I was thinking, because I say, you know what, seeing this in the headlines, they're afraid because they know that he's going to have a chance at taking over again. So, you know, I was just like, I just was with thinking over the week, like, what did you think about that? Okay, so, yeah. All right, well, that's good to know.
He has made some points on a couple occasions, you know, some years back, and which is all valid for today, really. Anybody who's following it sees the validity of it now. Hugh was really talking about this year coming in this past year. Future proves past. But, you know, Q said on at least one occasion, maybe two or three, that there's the upcoming suicide weekend. There's going to be a lot of people committing suicide coming up close to the end days for them. And it's coming quick. Look, I don't think we're going to have to wait for the election for a lot of things to take place. I think, you know, events are going to force things to force the military to make a move. And once you start seeing violence in America, and it's going to be in every city at the same time, if people aren't paying close enough attention to understand how organized these people are, and they have all the major cities, they have thousands of these people in it. And then you got a lot of morons, and you got a lot of people who are college of people who will be involved, and they'll get into the streets. And violence is going to hit. It's going to hit across America, just like it's hitting across the entire world if you're paying attention to the news. It's going to hit here. And I think it's going to be sooner than later. I think it's going to be coming up soon. But we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Well, all I got to say, if anybody come to my door, it's going to be some fireworks. I'm ready.
Everybody's ready. You know, we don't want violence, but you do want to protect your family and yourself.
Oh, yes, exactly. That's what it is, protecting my family and myself. So,
I feel sorry for the people in the cities because they're going to get the brunt of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, this is what it's taken to get done what has to be done. We're at war. And we've been at war, it's been covertly, for well over 200 years, 240 years, whatever it's been. Okay, and actually longer than that. We've been at war since 1750 with these people, this New World Order people, ultimately from Britain. And, you know, and the Bar Association, or the Bar Attorney, shall I say, they were sent to America in 1750, I mentioned this earlier, to destroy our judicial process. And again, they've gone further than that. They've destroyed our political process. They changed us from a republic to a democracy. That took place early, real early on. I mean, we're going back until 1787, 88, 89, when the debates were going on. The group of people organized themselves as the Federalists, and behind that was a movement to really maintain slavery in order to continue the division, or to divide us as a people to begin with. Then as time went on, they called themselves the Federalists. Jefferson was upset about this because he said we're all Federalists and we're all Republicans. But nevertheless, they took it into a negative way. So they supported slavery, and that was the first party. And then and that was 1789. And in 1792, the Federalists morphed into the Democratic Party, and they started moving towards democracy. And that was the whole purpose. And, of course, they're the ones that maintained the slavery all the way through, you know. Mm. So it's deeply rooted in our system, and we've been at war. It's been covertly from the very beginning, going all the way back while we were colonists, and only now it's gone over. You know, people are starting to see it.
Yeah, well, thank you. I definitely will be giving you a call tomorrow, and all we got to do is just keep on praying and trusting in God, you know.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, LJ. All right, we've come to the end of our program. I think we're right there, 1 minute to 11. So, all right, God willing, we'll see everyone next Monday, and see you then. Thanks. Good night.